Hello and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Weekly Podcast. We're here to help you with the challenges we all face as homeowners. I'm Danny Lifford.
And I'm Joe Truini. And each week, Danny and I are here on the podcast to answer any and all home improvement questions.
And we want to hear from you. Send us your questions or comments at todayshomeowner.com/podcast. Today's Homeowner Podcast is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. This week, we look at the battle over weeds that keep coming up through a very large brick patio and what exactly can be done. And that option does not include removing the bricks. Also, flooring options for another very large screen porch, different ways that you can really get a nice, durable floor for an area that sometimes gets a little rain blowing in there. Also, retractable screens, more popular than ever, and we've got a great situation where a retractable screen can really solve a problem for a homeowner. Also, tips on touching up kitchen cabinets that are painted. And Joe, what kind of simple solution do you have for us?
All right, Danny, I have a way to make a really decorative and very efficient hanging planter from a colander.
Oh boy, perfect time of the year for that. That sounds interesting. That's a might be a different kind of a look to it. I'm looking forward.
Looks actually pretty cool.
Good. Looking forward to hearing that. Okay, well, let's get started. And we do want to put a special focus on our emails because we do get so many of them, and we try our best to get to each and every one of them. But let's grab one right now from Nancy in Pennsylvania. Nancy sent in a couple pictures to us here, and it's their backyard, a really pretty good size brick patio. Looks like it was installed pretty well, but Nancy says, we put this patio in 20 plus years ago. We're really tired of fighting the weeds that come up in between the bricks, and we don't use it much as a patio anymore, just a glorified walkway. Hey, we could use any suggestion that you may have for us, and in parentheses, taking up the bricks is not a problem. Thank you, and retired and taking it easy. There you go, Nancy. Well, that's always good. You get retired, you start spending more time around the house, and all of a sudden your project list grows and grows. And how many times have you heard people that were retired say, I don't know how I was able to do all of this when I had a job?
That's right.
As it starts expanding a little bit. I also have heard retired people say, well, you know, here's the way retirement is like. You know how you run in the Home Depot real quick, and you run there, and you're grabbing this, and grabbing that, you're running out. Well, nowadays, I take 4 hours. I wander around, I take it easy, I have a cup of coffee, what I need, and then some, and then I go home and I take a nap.
So, because you don't have an hour, you have like 4 hours.
That's right.
So why not use it up?
So that's I don't know if I'll ever get to that point, but I certainly, that's interesting. So back to the question, what can Nancy do, apparently fighting these weeds, getting the best of it? Of course, there's lots and lots of remedies to kill weeds.
Yeah.
Certainly the vegetation elimination type of material, you know, different types of chemicals that you can use on a regular basis, but it's been proven over and over and over, these things are pretty dangerous. So you want to make sure that you wear all the protective gear, everything that you need if you're going to go that route. The secret on something like this is doing it on a regular basis. So if that grass or weed gets, you know, too thick, it's just harder and harder to kill. But by really being careful and being very diligent on doing this on, two or three days at a time, you'll be able to eliminate all of that. Now, that's one way. Of course, Joe, the old boiling water. I mean, taking the tea kettle and boil that water and then just hit it. It kills them immediately, but you don't have any residual effect on that. Of course, what do you think about the old Epsom salt trick? Do you think this might be a good one for that?
Yeah, I think you could probably skip the Epsom and just go to the vinegar, but I would recommend, instead of using standard white vinegar, which you can buy like at a supermarket, use, I think it's called home and garden vinegar, typically called, and it's much more acidic. Regular vinegar might be 6 to 8% acidic, where the home and garden vinegar is like 20 to 30% acidic, so it's much stronger, and it'll definitely kill the weeds. And for a deck this size, a patio rather, this size, you know, you can put it in a pump-up sprayer and do the whole thing probably in less than an hour. Well, with boiling water, you'd be running back and forth, you know, with boiling water. So I think I would spray it and kill them with that. And then you have to remove them, because even though they're dead, you don't know what might be beyond those dead weeds. There might be other, you know, roots getting ready to grow. So I'd scratch out everything between all the bricks, get down to, you know, at least a half inch or so, then pack in some polymeric sand, which
that's
we talk
what I was
about
to mention
time.
That. Right? Yeah, I think that really builds up a good barrier against the weeds. It's much like putting mulch in your flower beds. It's going to block out that weed growth. It's even more important to do it in what Joe's saying, like remove down about a half inch and sweep it out of your way, put the polymeric sand down, sweep it in there nice and tight, kind of mist it with a little bit of water. You'll be surprised how that blocks those weeds from being able to grow.
Yeah, because unlike regular sand, the polymeric sand has binders in it. And when you spray it with a little water, it solidifies. It's not quite like mortar, but it's not quite like just sand. It's kind of something in between. And as Danny said, that helps block the weeds. And then the other thing I would do, once all the polymeric sand's in place and the bricks are all nice and clean, I'd go back with a clear sealer and go over everything. You can get a masonry sealer. The one I've used in the past that works well is from Drylock. And it's called, I think it's just called Latex Clear Natural Look Sealer or something like that. Drylock. Yeah, natural look sealer. So it's not, won't color the stone. And you can put it right over the polymeric sand and everything. You probably have to put two coats. Read the directions. I think you might need two coats. And you have to stay off it for at least a day, 24 hours. But that's probably the best you could do to keep the weeds out. I know Nancy wants to take it easy, and taking up all those bricks would not be taking it easy, so I would not recommend that.
No, and really, it's a beautiful looking place, and a good suggestion on the clear sealer, because, boy, when you get those bricks nice and clean and dry, and right. You put a clear sealer on it, and you can do that with a pump-up sprayer, two or three coats, and boy, the color and the character of these bricks will really come out. You'll be so glad that you did that. And again, beautiful patio. So, Nancy, hope we've helped you on that. Just a step at a time. Take it easy and enjoy your retirement. It's time for our best new product segment, brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Samsung Smart Dial front load washer with super speed wash. I'll tell you, I don't know anyone who really likes doing laundry. You know, you have to remember which clothes needs which cycle, and once you get those going, it takes forever to complete a load. So Samsung introduced this large capacity smart dial front load washer with super speed wash. Now listen to this. It uses artificial intelligence, or AI, power to learn your favorite wash cycles, and then it recommends them by displaying those first in an easy to use control panel. So it learns how you wash, it remembers, and helps you out when you wash after that. Then the super speed wash feature lets you wash a full load of laundry in just 28 minutes without sacrificing cleaning performance. Plus, the washer, of course, is also Wi-Fi connected, so you can receive end of cycle alerts or schedule cycles on your time, on any time that you want, right from your smartphone with the SmartThings app. For more information on the Samsung Smart Dial front load washer with super speed wash, log on to HomeDepot.com. You know, you hear a lot of talk about it's very, very hard to get appliances sometimes, but
right,
Home
yep.
Depot's, they did a great job in really stocking up and having the supply lines open, and I haven't heard much at all about those around Home Depot having any problems. So you can check it all out at HomeDepot.com. Let's get right back to the today's homeowner hotline. Helen is on with us right now with a question about her screen porch. Helen, welcome to the show. Glad you're with us.
Thanks.
Tell us what's going on around there with this porch.
I have this back screened-in porch that I've been pondering on what's the best surface to put on it. It's a cement porch, and it's painted. But we need to have a surface established on it that will be easy upkeep, easy maintenance. And it's 10 by 35 feet, and we were wondering if the vinyl tile that they are introducing now, I think it's kind of a new deal, would that work? On the outside, I say on the outside because they're screened in. Would we need to go with ceramic, the vinyl tile, or what kind of surface would best be fitted for that?
Well, it does need to be pretty durable because I assume you've got some water, some rain that blows into this area from time to time.
Right, that's the thing.
Okay. Well, there's actually quite a few options. You know, if you go with any type of tile, we would recommend you go with a porcelain tile. That's for is what's used on the outside more than anything. You can get the larger tiles to make it a little more maintenance-free. That's certainly one way to go, but you're talking about a fairly sizable area, 300, 350 square feet there, so that might run up into the money a little bit. Another way is just to clean that floor as well as you can. Might even have to take a little, what they call a floor sander, and just sand it a little bit just to get as much of that existing paint off of it as you can. Then you can repaint, but if you do repaint, we would suggest you put an additive in it that will prevent you from having any kind of slipping and falling situation there. And of course, our friends at Deitch Coatings has their Track Safe, which we've used a lot, and that works very, very well. Joe, what else would you recommend? I don't know if we should recommend that vinyl tile, though. I have not heard it being used in an area, even though they tout it as being, quote, waterproof in some situations, but I'm not really sure they recommend it for the outside use because of the glue situation.
Right, especially since it's painted surface. Now, Helen, I think you have, as Danny said, you have a few different options. A couple others are, if it's low enough from a doorway that's going into the house, you could simply deck over it. Just leave it. I wouldn't even clean it. I wouldn't do anything. I just would deck right over it, and you can use like pressure treated wood, what are called sleepers, which are usually 2x4s on the ground, on the patio. And then you can put either pressure treated or composite decking on top. So you're just going right over it. Any rain would go right through it. And, you know, we don't have to worry about it. It would look great, look brand new. There's also a product called interlocking deck tiles. And they're made out of either plastic or wood. And you can go online and probably find a bunch of different ones. And they just sort of clip together. They come anywhere from 12 by 12, I think up to maybe 24 inches square, something like that. They just sort of clip together and go right over the existing surface. And if you go to Home Depot into the paint department, they have a product called Granite Grip. It's called Behr's Granite Grip. And it's made specifically for this situation, where you need a durable finish, but you want some slip resistance. Now, you'd have to read the directions carefully because this is already painted surface. It might say you have to remove all the paint, or it might say you only have to remove any paint that's chipped. If the paint is fully adhered and in good shape, then you might be okay, but that I'm not exactly sure. But those are some options, which is fortunate. A lot of people call us, we only have one option, and sometimes it's not very practical or affordable. So here, I think you have a couple of ways to, this is a really nice size screened in porch, and I think fixing that floor will make it a lot more usable.
Okay, I have several options, sound like it, so I'll see which is the best and the least expensive way to go.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to go there, and I'll tell you one more I'll throw at you. They used to call it astrograss, carpet grass. That's actually a nylon woven rug or wall to wall that you can use. I know I put it on a porch of one of my houses, and it stayed there for 22 years, got rained on every single time. You know, traditionally, when it was first introduced on the market, it was all green. Now you can get it everything. I don't know, all these guys with the big bass boats, and you know, they use it all the time, but you can get brown, you can get light brown, you can get blue, you can get just about anything there. That's another thing that could glue right down to what you have. And then for maintenance, you can do a little sweeping, a little vacuuming, or just take a water hose and blast all of the dirt and debris right off of it. So, you know, consider that. Go by Home Depot and look at some of their carpet grass options that they have.
And Alan, just one other thing I wanted to mention, that Granite Grip, it's made by Behr's Granite Grip. It comes in 16 colors. Danny was talking about colors. It made me remember. So, you know, if that product will work, you don't have to have it gray like concrete. So with 16 colors, you have lots of options.
Oh, okay. And that, it would be the surface on it would be kind of like a ceramic tile surface, this Granite Grip.
It would just be, it would be like a stone surface with some abrasive in it so that it, you know, won't be as slippery when it gets wet.
Oh, okay.
All righty, Helen. We'll hope we've been able to give you some inspiration and point you in the right direction. And best of luck on your project. And if we can help you any more, you know what to do. Just give us a call.
Thanks a lot. lot. Sure appreciate the info.
Okay, our pleasure. Well, that's always, boy, oh boy, everybody's getting those outside areas ready spring and summer. Why not? It's going to be a great time for all of us. Get those outdoor living areas ready to go. Let's get right back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. We're headed up to Indiana, where we get a lot of phone calls from time to time. Peggy's on with us. Peggy, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on with this patio door.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Uh-huh.
We bought a patio door at Home Depot with a built-in dog door.
Uh-huh.
One half is the people door. The other half is like a big window with a dog door under it.
Uh-huh.
But the people door doesn't have a screen. And I called Home Depot, and they said that there wasn't actually a screen that they had for that door. And I saw that you had used those screens that slide on your show. Would that work?
Yeah, they're pretty versatile. That's so you're talking about a retractable screen.
Yes.
That basically has a little housing on one side that's pretty low profile. And basically it just slides over and then connects to a magnet on the inside. So it's very easy in a scenario like this where you have the double doors like this and you're only trying to cover one. It works very, very well. And that is one option and probably the more attractive option because the cylinder, you know, is very, very unobtrusive. It's just not as bad as having a full coverage door. Because if you had a full coverage door, you could have one that goes on there that you can open and close, but it kind of detracts away from the nice look of the door that you have there. So now the one that we use is from a company that we work with that's actually centered up near Vancouver, Canada, and it's called Wizard Screens. And you can go to wizardscreens.com and find where you can get one, and they actually have installers all over North America, and you might find one right around the corner there in Indianapolis that would be able to come by and measure and order it, and they turn those things around pretty quick. Very, very good company.
Okay, sounds great.
And that, you know, it is nice when you can fold that door open and you just have the simplicity of that. I actually have one, or I have several in my new home. Boy, once you get it, it's like the old swinging screen door is almost obsolete after you get one of the retractable ones and get used to using those.
Our door would let so much cool air in, you know, instead of having just a solid door there.
Uh-huh.
And it would really save on the air conditioning, too, when it's not real hot.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea because we know it's going to start getting expensive as it starts getting warmer. Well, Peggy, I think that'll be a great option to you. I certainly appreciate you being a part of the show today.
Well, thanks for helping me so much. Enjoy the show.
Oh, thank you very much. You take care. Appreciate it. Yeah, the old retractable screens are getting more and more popular these days. Certainly good. And also, you know, with the Wizard screens, Joe, you can actually choose from several different meshes. So you can have it different colors, the screen that you have, a lot of different ways to go on that. Danny Lifford here along with my buddy Joe Truini, and we want to hear from you. We make it very, very easy. You can send us an email right now by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask or pick up the phone. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner Hotline. We're going to go right to the hotline right now. Chris is on the line from Texas. Chris, welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, and hate to hear you're having problems with any of your cabinets, but tell us all about it.
Well, hi, Danny. This actually works. Calling, I actually get to talk to you.
That's right. We want to help as many people as we can. And I always hate that when you sent these pictures in, and I love the gray color. It seemed like gray is just taking over all areas of the home. And now, were these custom cabinets or were these cabinets that you bought from Cabinet Shop or Home Center?
Well, sort of in between. We bought this home that already had cabinets, and later we decided to redo them. We learned the best way for us was just to reface them. And when we did this, the uppers were actually replaced, but all the fronts were replaced at one time. And then after that, once the replacement was done, we had another man come in and paint them. And man, we were just so happy because they looked so good. But now, they're not looking so good. They're not holding up, and I just don't know which way to go to straighten it out.
Yeah, that's a shame. I'll tell you, I saw a house recently where people had a roll-out garbage can. and you reach and you grab the handle and you pull it out. Well, it seems like fingernails and maybe a ring or two on hands reaching to open that little, you know, that repetitive motion of, you know, year after year. And it's just a shame. It's got a big section of that that's chipped out, and these are lacquer finished cabinets. So it does happen like that. And some cabinets are more durable than others. Some people do a better job in applying the type of paint than they should. Number one, do you know the color of the paint? Do you have any of that paint?
Yes, I have the paint, and I actually bought a brush, so I'm sort of ready to get started, but I just want to, you know, be sure I prepped them right and that I'm using the right method.
It's hard after a few years for, you know, to go back and just paint here and paint there. You almost have to do at least an entire door. You want to make sure the paint is, you know, is holding up well, hope that it has not been frozen or hotter than it should be. Mix the heck out of it. I mean, mix it, and then try to do just the touch-ups where the damaged areas are after you do a little bit of sanding. And I would use Joe, what would you recommend on that? Maybe a 220 grit sandpaper so that we're not getting too aggressive?
Yeah, you could try that. Chris, you might have to go to like a 180 if you want something a little more aggressive. But the point Danny's making is don't start with like a 60 grit or an 80 grit. It'd be way too aggressive.
Yeah.
And so this is chipping on the doors and the cabinets or just the doors?
It's primarily the doors. And
okay.
The worst area is under the drip from the sink. You know, so if we wash it. And that sort of thing.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily from a failed paint job as opposed to just wear and tear, you think?
I think that's what it is.
I've never had any luck patching and paint and like blending in new old paint with new paint, especially paint that's been professionally sprayed on, which I assume this was. But as Danny suggested, you could certainly try it. I mean, it's not going to harm it any. It might not look great, in which case, you know, no harm, no foul. You know, you can bring back the door to the same painter and have them sand it down and respray it. You know, a sprayed finish, trying to match it with a paintbrush is pretty difficult. As I said, I've never had any luck doing it that way.
Okay.
Sorry.
Once I do this, especially around the sink, is there any other extra step I could take to make that more durable or last longer?
You could put a clear finish over the paint.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have to be lacquer too, though, right?
It could be lacquer. It could be a urethane, because lacquer is hard to brush on. It's usually better sprayed. But maybe if you return that to the painter, maybe he could do that as well to the cabinet maker. I mean, I just recently, 2 years ago, we got rid of our cabinets and we decided to go with, instead of a stained finish, a painted finish. And my concern was it was going to show wear here in different spots. And, you know, and the cabinet maker told us, yeah, that's going to happen. There's no way to stop. It's only paint, and you're grabbing at it all the time, especially where the trash is or, like you said, underneath where the sink is. And unfortunately, other than just touching it up, there's not much you can do.
Okay. Well, that's been very helpful. I appreciate you guys' advice, as always.
All right, Chris.
The good thing, you're able to, you know, go ahead and catch it before it gets really bad. It's always easier to catch it, you know, before it gets too bad. But it's a good-looking kitchen, so you want to make sure it keeps looking good. And glad we could help you out on that. And best of luck on that, Chris.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. You take care. Right now, let's head right to Joe Truini for this hour's Simple Solution.
All right, Danny. Here's how to make a unique hanging planter out of a metal colander. That's right, a metal colander. You can buy at any department store or even home centers and supermarkets these days. What you want to do is take the colander and spray paint it to match the house trim. I mean, you don't have to do that, but it typically looks better because you're going to hang it off a porch or a post out back by a deck, something like that. So you want to spray paint it to match the house color. Then hang it, and what you want to do is drill 3 evenly spaced holes around the rim in a colander, then hang it with 3 small chains and S-hooks. There's a simple solution I shot that you can see if you go to todayshomeowner.com/simple-solutions, and I think I cut the chains about 16 inches long, which seemed like to be just the right length. So you just put the hooks on through the holes, and one hook at the top holding all 3 chains together. Then you can hang it wherever, you know, that's convenient. And you can line it with landscaping fabric or some coffee filters, which will also work. And that's just to keep the soil from sifting through. And then you put in your plant. And the great thing about this, it hangs there. It looks great. You can easily move it around. And of course, it drains. You know, you're not going to drown if it gets rained on, you're not there in time, or someone overwaters it. You know, it's not going to drown and kill the plant. So that's how to make a hanging planter out of a colander.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Kind of a cool little look, too.
Looks cool. Yeah, it actually does.
That's one of many, many simple solutions that you can find right now at todayshomeowner.com/simple solution. Now it's time for our podcast question of the week. This came in from Craig in California. Hi, Danny. I love your podcast. We have crusty calcium buildup around our pool on the stone coping and deck. What's the best way to clean off the hardened deposits? That's so strange, some of the how calcium and this whitish deposits just show
right,
up
yeah.
on all kinds of different areas around your house. Joe, would you think on something like that? You know, of course, you have the pool there that you want to be sympathetic to. You don't want to
right,
pour
yeah.
something in there. Would you go with TSP on this? I don't think it would be necessary to go as far as the muriatic acid. Do you think TSP will do the thing?
I would certainly try something like that, like TSP, which is trisodium phosphate, which sounds like a chemical, and maybe technically it is, but it's very mild, and it's an all-round cleaner. If you read the back of the box, you'll see it can be used for almost everything. They do make, this is, I assume, calcium and lime, and they do make calcium and lime removers, commercial ones, that are pretty mild, so I don't think it would harm the stone or the pool water. There's a company called ZEP, Z-E-P, that makes a bunch of different products, mm-hmm. cleaning products, and they actually have one. They have a couple of calcium and lime removers, but they do have one. I'm not sure exactly what it's called. It's a concentrate, and it's more of a professional grade one. It costs like $30 a gallon as opposed to 10 or 15. So I would probably use that. Now, the other thing you could try, if this was my pool, this is what I would try first because it doesn't really cost very much money, is they make a pumice stone specifically for this. And they often call it a pool stone. So you mm-hmm. might be able to get it from a pool supplier.
Mm-hmm.
And a pumice stone, if you're not familiar with, is just a block of pumice, which is natural stone that's super fine. You know, it's not really coarse. And you can use it almost like sandpaper, for lack of a better word. And you just use it wet. So you could just dip it right into the pool water, into a bucket of water, and you can use that to wet sand off those calcium deposits. It's such a fine stone, this pumice stone, that it's not going to leave scratches behind. So those would probably be the options I'd recommend.
That's great. Yeah, that should be able to get that looking clear. And then, I mean, it's like a lot of things. Once you get it nice and clean, consider a specialized clear sealer that's
right.
made
yep.
for that stone coping. I did that around my pool. I'm glad I did because you can just see it repelling anything that gets on it. It will make it look a lot better for a lot longer. Craig, we certainly appreciate your email into our podcast. And if you'd like to send us one, we'd love to get it. It might be a question. It might be a comment of a suggested podcast you would like for us to do. Or again, like we say a lot of times, you might have a perfect tip that has worked well for you on something that you've worked on around your house. Share it with us and we'll share it with our podcast listeners across the country. And you can send it in right now, todayshomeowner.com/podcast. And always a big thanks for the wonderful reviews that we continue to get on the podcast. We have a little bit of a change that we will be announcing soon that will give you even more information to hear on the Today's Homeowner podcast channel. Hey, this is Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thank you so much for listening to this Today's Homeowner podcast.